Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. On today's program, we continue our series with Dr. Neufeld, the greatest sermon ever preached, and we will be looking at the meaning of the golden rule. So turn with me to our passage in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, as we go back to the Bible with Dr. John.
Matthew 7:12 is one of the most familiar passages of the Bible. It's been called the Golden Rule. It simply says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Now, it's no secret that similar things are also said in a great many other religions and philosophies of the world. For instance, the founder of the Baha'i faith is the Baha'u'llah. He said, "Ascribe not to any soul that which thou wouldst not have ascribed to thee." Or Buddhism states, "Hurt not any soul in ways that you yourselves would find hurtful." And Confucianism says, "Try your best to treat others as you would wish to be treated yourself, and you will find that this is the shortest way to benevolence." Hinduism says, "This is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you." And Islam says, "None of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself." Indeed, it has been said that there are versions of the Golden Rule found in at least 21 other religions. Add to this the often repeated words that the Golden Rule is the heart of all religion and therefore, at least as some say it, even though religions differ in many ways, the heart of all religions are essentially the same. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. I think we've all heard people say that. Now, I know that some Christian teachers argue that Jesus makes the matter positive and other religions make the matter negative. In other words, Jesus states the matter in a superior fashion. That is, in Hinduism, we are to refrain from causing pain, and in Jesus, we are to actively do good. You know, but that won't do, for first, it really doesn't matter whether you state the matter positively or negatively. In essence, it works out to do the same thing. And second, a great many religions do state the matter positively, as in Islam, we are told to wish for our brothers what we would wish for ourselves. So let's begin at the outset by openly admitting that Christ's golden rule is not unique to him. Many have said it both before and after him. Furthermore, the principle of Matthew 7, verse 12 is found in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, verse 18 says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, before I make comments about this statement and its relation to other religions, let's take note that this is not the only time Jesus said something that sounds very much like the Golden Rule. Early on in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And of course, that goes far beyond what other religions teach. And in Matthew 19, verse 19, he says, "Love your neighbor as yourself," and then he repeats that a second time in Matthew 22, verse 39. Indeed, as we have noticed in our study on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 17 forms a key to interpreting the sermon. "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets." And throughout his ministry, Jesus frequently referred back to the intent of the law. Apparently, the golden rule is the intent of the law. So listen to the interchange between Jesus and a certain lawyer or an expert in the Old Testament law, and it's found in Matthew 22, verses 35 to 40. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now, in order to understand the Old Testament law, says Jesus, one must break the essence of it down to the Ten Commandments. All the incidental details of the law are a further expansion for Israel of the basic commands found in the Ten. Then the Ten themselves can be broken down further into two halves, what is often called the first and the second table of the law. The first table, the first four commands, which includes the prohibition against idols and against misusing the sacred name, teach us how to love God. The second table, which includes the prohibition against adultery and murder, teach us how to love our neighbor. And ultimately, it is the last six commands that are the commands that have something to do with the golden rule, that we are to treat our neighbor as we would have him or her treat us. Who would want their neighbor to commit adultery with their own spouse? And so, since we wouldn't want that done to us, we should treat them in the same way. Love them as yourself. And the Old Testament law is an exposition within the life and culture of ancient Israel, how in the everyday events of life, they are taught to love and to keep the golden rule. But when I say things this way, I can almost hear those who claim that all the world's religions are essentially the same say, well, you see, this is the essence of all true religion. And after all, Jesus said that it is the essence of the law. And the essence of the law and the teachings of Jesus is also the essence of, well, Hinduism and Islam and so forth. But once we say that, we commit a fundamental error. And the error is essentially the same error as that of the Pharisees. You see, for a Pharisee, law-keeping was the pathway to holiness. Keep the law, they said, and you will be righteous and God will accept and reward you. But for Jesus, this approach only led to pride. He taught that the basic posture of a citizen of his kingdom was one who was poor in spirit, not one who was rich in spiritual achievement. Jesus taught that all of us were essentially evil, fallen from God, and unable to save ourselves. Indeed, for Jesus and the rest of the New Testament, the very nature of the law was such that while it truly and accurately expressed the righteousness of God and the righteousness that God demands of us, well, all of this only led to despair. It highlighted where we had fallen short and highlighted our sins. See, that's why the parable of Luke 18 is so significant in the teaching of Jesus. The Pharisee, while in prayer, was thankful that he was a law keeper. He thought he did the golden rule, but his problem was that he was hopelessly self-deceived. And the publican who beat his breast and couldn't even look up to heaven, but could only cry out to God for mercy, was the man who had truly grasped what was required before God. And it's the same of all the other religions. It's not that they haven't grasped an important principle. It's just that they don't do it. And if they claim that they do it, they only deceive themselves. See, the law not only reveals that we're sinners, but the law also reveals that we are condemned and under the wrath of God. And that's why Paul would say in Romans 7:7-8, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it was to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. See, for Paul, the law not only revealed sin, but in sinful human beings, the law excited even further rebellion. So let's get back to the golden rule and its place in the law. Yeah, it's true that the principle of the golden rule is found in other religions. But that shouldn't shock us, for there are a great many principles in other religions that Christians would agree with. We never say they're wrong about absolutely everything. God, in His common grace, has revealed Himself through means, although none of these religions lead us to the place of forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God. But in Christ, the golden rule performs in two unique ways. In ways that it does not appear in any other system of spirituality. First, Christ sees the golden rule not as the essence of his teaching, but rather as one of the essential outcomes of his teaching. In Luke 19, verse 10, he teaches that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in Luke 5:32, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Of course, Jesus was not saying that anyone is righteous, but he was saying that only those who identified themselves as sinners even heard his call. He came for lawbreakers. The essence of Jesus' teaching, then, is not that we should love our neighbors, but that we have not loved our neighbor at all. And we're seriously deluded if we think we have. And furthermore, we are under the wrath of God and in desperate need of a Savior. See, no other religion teaches that. The golden rule is intended to drive us to the point of despair and the understanding that we really do need a Savior. And there's a second way in which the golden rule functions in the teachings of Jesus. For as we can see in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus does demand that his disciples should practice it. And it's not just that they should discover that they had not done it as they ought, but that they should see this as a framework in which they interact with the people around them. There's so much more to say about this because the way we practice the golden rule as believers is absolutely unique to us. We practice it as citizens of the kingdom, and that changes everything about how the golden rule is thought of and practiced among Christians.
It seems like almost everyone knows the essence of the golden rule. As we have learned, it's even woven into popular religions. But when our Lord taught us about this great principle, He meant it to encompass so much more than just doing good unto others. For none of us in our sinfulness can even begin to fully obey this great command in our sinfulness. And that is why we need Jesus to redeem us. When we come back, Dr. Neufeld helps us discover the uniqueness of the Golden Rule and how it transforms the way we live today. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God.
We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine Confident Living, and a way to support the ministry of Back to the Bible. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.